Families across Canada are under pressure. Grocery bills, housing costs, and the price of daily essentials keep rising, and many people are struggling to keep up. At Focus on the Family Canada, we're hearing from more families who need help, but we're also facing increased costs. Simply put, we're doing more with less. Your gift today will bring hope and personalized support to Canadian families in crisis. Visit focusonthefamily.ca/urgentneed to donate right now.
I've just learned. My journey is an incredible journey. I've learned a lot, and I'm glad that I've learned grace through my children, grace through other things. I'm glad that I can have a better balance and not be stuck in my knee-jerk reaction to go right to truth. And I'm still learning. Like, I don't think we ever arrive, and I think that's a good thing because he wants us to stay dependent upon him.
Insights from Hall of Fame pitcher John Smoltz as he shares about his need to balance grace and truth in his life as he continued maturing in his walk with Christ. We're coming back for a second day of conversation with John and more of his inspiring story on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
Last time, John Smoltz gave us a look into his childhood and how he set out to become a professional baseball player. I thought it was funny last time he said he, you know, sized up the positions and realized if he became a pitcher, he only had to work every 4 or 5 days. And that's a great young man's thought,
yes.
Right? Wow, how little can I do? But also that drive with perfection. I mean, I saw it when I played golf with him. I mean, he works hard at the art of doing athletics. And you could see that even in his golf game. It was very determined, I would say. And I admire that determination to want to be the best. And it certainly led to a great 21-year career in Major League Baseball. Now he's the lead baseball analyst for Fox Sports, covering the World Series that gets underway tonight. So you can go listen and watch that on Fox Sports. He told us he was raised in a family that went to church and he tried to do good and avoid many of the traps that ball players fall into. But it was a team chaplain and some Christian teammates who caused him to think about his relationship with God more deeply. And that's what led him to give his life to Christ. Go back and hear that first day if you missed it. Download the Focus app so you can get all the great content at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as we get into the rest of the story today, John shares about lessons God has taught him along the way in his faith journey. We left off last time as he was talking about how God was teaching him more and more about the need for grace and not just truth. And that's where, Jim, you picked up the conversation in front of a group of about 60 men in Wisconsin. And let's go ahead and listen in on today's Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
With that, though, there's a lot of dads in the room right now. And when you're the truth dad, kids can feel like they've never heard grace from
yes.
your lips.
That's right.
And we miss it as dads, and we tend to lean into that area. We're the ones, wait till your father gets home.
Yeah.
Then the hammer's coming down. You want to talk about truth, he's going to put it right on your backside.
That's right.
Absolutely. So how did you move from this truth orientation to your kids feeling like daddy loves me?
Yeah, so that transition, I think about all the time, what happens to, fill in the blank, the person when you're shocked by something or you didn't see it coming? And there was a lot of things in my life that I didn't see coming. And they were coming, as I look back now, pretty full throttle. And to experience grace and to show grace, it started with my children. Mm-hmm. I had to learn a lot with some of my children and grace, and it progressed into loving them unconditionally instead of trying to change them.
How could you do that? I mean, that's a big move. What did they say to you? That's a big move
it is
to
a
go
big
there.
Move. It is, and the life that I lived was not an easy life that I lived. Gone half the time, living in a gated community, trying to give my kids the best protection and life that I could, and then setting them up for what would life look like for them. It was a very tough 21 years from a long-term perspective if we didn't instill that faith and that consistency in their lives. So I think, and I look back now, my youngest is 25, my oldest is 33. Man, I went through the gamut. I had to learn a lot of tough lessons, and I had to ask for forgiveness, and I had to go through forgiveness. And the marinade that I was under, I would have eliminated a lot of people in my life based on the pain and hurt that, that happens to you. And that's what I'm saying. Like, what do you do when you don't see it coming? Well, I just learned to lean in more. I learned to trust him more, Jesus, and to really put more of that in the right area, because I was trusting me for the longest time and trying to do and solve life's problems by myself. And that's just not a good way to go. So I think when your kids see you're vulnerable and when they see you're not this person that can't have hard things happen to them, I kind of wish growing up they could see all the hard work I put in. They didn't. They just saw the byproduct. They never saw the 12 hours a week in the gym. I mean, they were going to school. They never saw all the hours that I was putting in and starting a Christian school. And I think over time, they saw the consistency of a person that didn't react a certain way when things would happen. Because you know what you brought up, it's like, we got to hide it from dad.
Yeah.
And when you start hiding things and you get division and split in the household, that's never a good thing.
John, this is a delicate issue, but it's happening in our culture. You did go through a divorce.
Right.
That's tough stuff. There's men in this room that probably have had that experience. It's not the best. But speak to that low place in your life.
Yeah, and that's another moment that I didn't see coming. And it was the lowest I've ever been. I'm a high energy, motivated, driven person. And there was nothing you could do to motivate me then. And I had to find out a lot about myself in that moment. And, you know, with my kids, that was something I didn't see coming. And what I had to learn is how to walk through something that I was not good at, forgiving. I just wasn't. I think when you're not having in your mind to have been forgiven a lot, it's hard to extend forgiveness when you know it. It's for you.
God, you know, if I can interject there, it feels like the older brother of the prodigal story.
That is 100% me.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%, my wife corrects me because I used to say I'm the prodigal son. She said, no, you're the brother of the prodigal.
The older brother.
The older brother, yes. That is exactly right. You know, and I think that I had to learn through that. And that's when I was the emptiest. Mm. And I wish I was empty more, because I would trust more and lean in, because God took me through that place in my life where he literally picked me up and brought me through it to the other side. I have one of the greatest blended families in the world. I have the greatest wife, Catherine, 16 years now. And, you know, I went through it. I mean, I went through the perfect storm. That happened. And when you're living a life of perception, perception's not a reality. And when you're a Major League Baseball player, that everybody can look up what you made and everybody can look up what you've done, that perception is not always reality. And so during it all and during through it, all of it with my kids, I had to ask for forgiveness and I had to be willing to forgive. And those are two very different things, because willingness to forgive something that you don't think is deserving forgiving is what God gives us that channel to say, this is for you. You know, it's not necessarily for the other person. Sometimes the other person doesn't even know what they, like, forgive me for what? And that process, I remember happening in a car, driving down the road, and I said, Lord, if you don't take me through this, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can physically say those words. And there were a lot of situations. Let's just share one story. I had to speak at a Zig Ziglar conference on motivation from 25,000 people. I had agreed a year prior. Oh, I forgot all about it, because I'm going through this and nobody knows I'm about to go through this. And you know, this always makes headline news. And so my agent calls and says, you ready for tomorrow? And I'm like, what's tomorrow? And he goes, oh, you're supposed to be at the Omni speaking at 9 a.m. I said, I am. And I was completely, like, I was out of it. I was depressed. So I drive down. I meet Zig Ziglar, and he tells me that the boxing ring in the middle of the Omni is where you're going to speak. You got 25 minutes. Don't go a second over. There's a clock in the corner. And I am just like, there's no chance this is going to work. He goes, I'll take you to the green room. And I went to the green room. It's the first time at that time in my life that I completely 100% had nothing. Mm. And I said, Lord, you have to show up. I've got zero energy. I don't even know what I'm going to talk about. And prior to that, I'm like motivational one-on-one. I could do that in my sleep. And so I literally prayed for about 3 to 5 minutes. And when I walked out there, I don't even remember all of what I said, but when I was done, I looked at the clock and it went 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I got a standing ovation and I got in my car and went back to sleep for who knows how long. Wow. Like, it literally was an example of what people tell me all the time. Like, when you're brought through something, and I was completely empty. But when you're going through it, there's nothing anybody can tell you until you experience His grace and His presence. And I wish I experienced it more often. I really do. I wish there was more of those scenarios to where I could speak and see, wow, He picked me up here, He used me here, He did this. And I'm sure there's a lot of those that I could look back, but that was the most unbelievable 2 days of my life.
You know, again, when you look at the arc of your life, it's really interesting that you could go from being the big brother of the prodigal story to experiencing the younger brother plight.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah. That brokenness. The scripture says He's close to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit. But when you're doing things so well, you don't experience that. Well, I should be good enough to get into heaven.
Yeah.
I'm a good person. And then the Lord goes about, well, let me show you.
Yeah, and I think people have a hard time being vulnerable. And I think people also accuse me of like, well, it's real easy to share Jesus when you have everything. I said, no, see, that's where you're wrong. If you have everything, you don't need Jesus. And that's probably harder. I said, it's when you realize that how much you really don't have and you need Him. And it's that whole, like, you're weak, you know, the whole culture shifted since I started and where we are today. It's, you're no longer thought of weak. But it's that strength that we have to have as men to lead our family in the midst of all of it, right? It's not just in the good. And I've been vulnerable enough to realize that even though I've been given a platform with a jersey and a Hall of Fame and all that stuff, that all pales in comparison to where I know I'm going, right? And even in my Hall of Fame speech, I wanted that to not be empty. I wanted people to know that this is the greatest thing here on earth, but what I've got here on earth pales in comparison to where the Hall of Fame I end up knowing I'm going to go.
You know, you've had so many amazing experiences in life. You know, let's get down to a couple of core things that men should know. Not just the men in this room, but all the men that will be listening and all the men that their wives are going to say, you need to listen to this. All that you've experienced, and when you get down to it, what are those two or three lessons you're going, these are the things to remember, guys? A warrior.
Yeah.
Which you achieved all the highest accolades. And I'll tell you what, athletes in our culture, you are the gladiators. I mean, whatever the sport, you make a lot of money doing what you do.
Yeah.
And no matter how you spend it, but the culture looks to you as superheroes.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at that, and then you're saying, okay, but the core thing in this life is Jesus.
Yeah.
Connect those dots.
Yeah, the biggest thing is, you know, I wanted to prove fallacies and everything that, like, I wanted to be a warrior, and I wanted to be a warrior for Christ when I realized that that's my mission, and that, you know, the book that we get to read, the good book, the truth, it's not a manuscript that we can live out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not. We need Him to live out the book that tells us how to live it out. Like, you can't do it on your own. And I think the one thing that I've learned is that if there's anything in my life that I'm holding on to or I have to hold on to, I'm running the wrong race. I can honestly say that I can let go of everything knowing now that, you know, the faith that I have sustained me. It's brought me through some of the most unbelievable times that nobody would ever know. And it's allowed my family to get reconnected when there was that brokenness that affects everybody differently. And they understand that if there's one thing that my kids are saying that dad's about more than ever is consistency of understanding his faith is going to drive him and be a motivator. And it's not about, you know, making the U.S. Open or making the Hall of Fame or doing all the things that I love to do competitively, but I no longer hold on to it, whatever that is, in a way to where it replaces what Christ want me to do. And that journey has changed because I can tell you all the things I said I would never do, I'm doing. And I realized that all the things that if I become more available and I become more readily available for Him, better things. Like, I think God looks at us and says, that's nice. That's good work. That's I applaud that. But I don't think that the reality is, like, God will use you when you don't think you can bring anything to Him,
yeah.
You know? And that we have so many people in the Bible that speak to that. And so I've just learned My journey is an incredible journey. I've learned a lot, and I'm glad that I've learned grace through my children, grace through other things. I'm glad that I can have a better balance and not be stuck in my knee-jerk reaction to go right to truth. And I'm still learning. Like, I don't think we ever arrive, and I think that's a good thing because he wants us to stay dependent upon him.
Definitely. So you look at, we have a number of young men in the audience here, but you look at the courage that it takes to do that, that warrior attitude that you talked about baseball. Now you're trying to apply that in a spiritual context. What word of encouragement do you have for young men who, by the way, are coming back to the church in big numbers right now? Young men, 20-something, 30-something men, they've got about a 15% increase in coming to church, which is huge.
Yeah, I think pressure in general, I loved it in my sport. Like, I love pressure. And I'm not saying everybody is going to be in that category, but the one thing I can tell you and rest assured on, and you have to get to in your life, and I thankfully got there, is I'm not going before, I could fool everyone right now. Like, I could be saying things that are true but end up failing you when I walk out of this place in 2 weeks. I'm not going before any of you when I die. Like, we're not fooling God and we're not fooling Jesus. So to be bold and to be courageous and all the things outwardly on the earth, that's fine. But if we're just jaking it, it doesn't matter, right? And I had to get to the place where it's like, I'm not fooling him. So I'm either trustworthy and steadfast, going to do and march to this way. And I think it's, again, easier said than done. It's not for everybody. Like, everybody can't make the same decisions because ramifications are different. I tell my kids this literally before it happened. And I said, be careful what, you know, in life. I mean, every intention I believe in life was started for good. Even the internet was started for good. And then evil takes over, right? It changes things. And I said, a lot of what life happens is like sitting in an ocean in an inner tube and you don't paddle. You don't go anywhere. But in 10 minutes, you're a mile or two away. And life does that to you. Absolutely. If you're not careful, like, you intend in the right direction. And if you get distracted or you get into a pothole, next thing you know, you are completely in something you never intended to be. And I'll never forget that, because in my life, that path has been that way. And there's been so many opportunities for so many people to get in that I call that ocean effect. And, you know, the world does it.
This Focus on the Family broadcast will continue in just a moment.
Financial Moments with Tom Copeland.
The Bible contains about 500 verses on prayer, 500 verses on faith, and 2,350 references to money and material things. And only 3% deal with giving, while the other 97% deal with other financial topics. Further, Christ gave us 16 parables that apply to money and material things, so there's lots of wisdom in God's Word, the Bible. However, most Christians violate God's financial principles because, except for tithing, they have very little knowledge of God's Word on finances, and as a result, they later suffer the consequences. We have a solution. On Sunday, October 19 and October 26, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Tom Copeland, along with Jonathan and Josh Grant, will be teaching the difference between a secular versus a biblical perspective on money, as well as God's wisdom on debt and saving and how to get out of debt. You can attend in person or you can watch online. There's no charge, but you do need to register at CopelandFinancialMinistries.org. Again, CopelandFinancialMinistries.org.
This is the sound of the staff here at Focus on the Family Canada every weekday morning at 9 a.m., petitioning God for those with crisis in their marriage, for those who want to become better parents, and those who are lifting up loved ones to the hope that one day they will know the salvation that Christ has to offer. We'd love to hear from you too. Call us today with your prayer requests at 1-800-A-FAMILY or email us at prayer@fotf.ca.
Thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. Let's resume now with the balance of today's programming.
Right at the end here, let's speak to everybody from a dad perspective. You had a great relationship with your father.
Yeah.
You talk about the legacy that he left you and your family.
Yeah.
He passed away 3 years ago, which gave you some thought about what legacy do you want to leave. So we're a bunch of men in this room right now. Talk about your dad's legacy and then what, how that has led you to say, okay, this is what I want to be about.
Yeah, as I told you, I gave you a little sneak preview. He was not afraid of who he was and what he did. He would just as soon laugh than cry, and he just had a spirit about him that he was going to work and give you everything he had. He never met a stranger. My dad did something that I used to just beg him not to, and I realize now why he did it, you know, but he made my first baseball card. And like I said, he handed out his business card everywhere he went because he was a salesman, but he handed out this baseball card every single place he went. And I was in high school, and he would go, my son's going to be in the big leagues. I want you to have this. And I'm like, Dad.
Those are worse than money today.
I'm like, Dad, I'm running into people and strangers that got these cards. Like, he traveled all the time. But he was proud, and I get that. And then when he passed, I realized, okay, my mom said, you got to go through all the stuff. He kept everything, every single thing. And it may, you know, almost embarrasses me to think, well, we keep it on our phones now. We have the technology. He kept every letter. He kept every news clipping. He kept every video. And so it took me a day and a half to go through it. But it was very cool. It was awesome to see. And the one thing about being a dad, and, you know, sometimes it's unfair that we view our Heavenly Father like our earthly father, you know. And if it's a good relationship, then we view our Heavenly Father in a good way. If it's a bad relationship, then unfortunately you might have that same feeling about your Heavenly Father. And I realized that, you know, in all the way that he brought me up, and he brought me up, like I said, buzzer at the seminary, and then didn't feel like that was his calling, and then, of course, lived 80 years on this earth. And I realized his passion for never missing a game, driving 400 miles for a silly baseball game. And I used to tell him, like, Dad, you're killing yourself. That doesn't make any sense. Never missed a game. So when you have kids, you're like, whoa, I get it. And I can't imagine what it was like for him to be sitting in game 7 in Minnesota watching me pitch that unbelievable game, and the tension and pressure and the pride. Like, it was just, and then till I watch my child, you know, playing soccer in college. And I'm like, this is at level five. That must have been level 100. And he just had a zeal for life. He never met a stranger, and he always did things for people. And, you know, obviously I want to pass that forward as much as I can. And he was the guy that everybody loved and everybody knew.
Let me ask this last question. The prodigal child, the dads that are struggling because their late teens or 20-somethings aren't in a good place, self-destructive behavior, whatever it might be. What do you do?
I think that's where the, you know, a combination of grace comes in, and obviously a lot of prayer, because I told you my kids experience things I've never experienced. And I told my oldest, I'm like, I hope you realize that nothing I do in life should define who you are and vice versa. And I think the hardest thing is we're attached to the outcomes of sometimes that are just not even fair. They're not an identity of who we are, but we get wrapped up in, like, I'm going to make sure my child's this or that, or if he does this or she does that. And I had to get to a point where I realized I'm doing the very best I can for you, and I'm going to pray for you and hope that you get to experience peace. But that whatever you do or whatever I do is not an identity of who we are. Like, a bad outcome is not going to make me feel like I'm going to wear, you know, a straight coat and put in handcuffs because you've done something stupid. And I hope you feel the same way if that ever happens to me. And I think that as a father, and being available and understanding that I can do a little bit more of the prayer aspect, because, you know, it's never good to just assume, oh, they're going good and everything's going good, that there won't be attacks and they won't be pulled. And we all probably know situations where your children left to go into college and they've come back and you're like, I do not know who you are. I'm based on what we thought we agreed on. And so, you know, there's obviously, you know, all the studies, but as a father and a leader in the home, that's where it starts. And when that's broken, and when there isn't a father, then there is not a lot of good research that's being done. And the blessing to me, the final thought I would give you is my dad never got the blessing from his dad. And my dad was super successful. And I know it just killed him. You know, he was out to prove. And I luckily could see that. And breaking that chain, that generational chain in your family of making sure that you give the blessing to your children, Because if you withhold that blessing based on what happened to you, or you say, I'm never going to be what my dad was, the likelihood of spinning that in is incredible. And I realized that my dad never got that blessing, and I got to speak to him about that, saying, I love you no matter what shape, size, wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, that love is not going to change. And, you know, he had a hard time for a while saying, I love you, because he never received that from his dad. And his dad was beloved by everybody. And imagine that dynamic. So I think sharing that blessing and really passing that on to your kids is what I've really learned to be a vital turn of the switch to what you can see has been going on for maybe a generation or two.
That's so good, John. This has been great. I want to say thank you. Thank you for working so hard as a four-year-old and all the way forward so that the Lord could use you to talk about the gospel and about the Lord the way you do so boldly.
Well, there's still work to be done.
Well, and you're also an amazing golfer. Let's thank John for being with us. Way to go.
Our guest for the past couple of days has been John Smoltz, a Hall of Fame pitcher, husband, and father. And wow, Jim, there were some great messages in there.
There were. It was really good stuff. And I don't mean it as a pitcher. And the men in the room appreciated what John had to share about grace, forgiveness, steadfastness, integrity, trust, and so much more. He reminded us about what really matters as we live for Christ. And if you've been inspired by this conversation and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we have a free online resource called Coming Home that explains what it means to put your faith and trust in a relationship with Jesus. And John's going to tell you more in a moment. Then also, we have a copy of the book, John Smoltz, Starting and Closing. It shares a lot of his baseball journey and, most importantly, his faith story. You can order it from us at Focus on the Family Canada. And while you're at it, pour back into the ministry for families across Canada by donating. Thanks in advance for that support.
Yeah, donate today as you can, and be sure to look for our Sports and Faith audio collection. It's a free audio download and includes today's presentation by John Smoltz and also inspirational interviews about sports and the Christian faith featuring Daryl Strawberry, Kirk Cousins, Daryl Waltrip, Benjamin Watson, and others. And you're going to want to share this great collection with a young person in your family or perhaps a friend. You can get the Sports and Faith audio collection and also read that Coming Home article we have about the Christian faith and get a copy of John's book all online at focusonthefamily.ca. Of course, you can always call. Our number is 800, the letter A, and the word family. 800-232-6459. Thanks for listening to Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back next time as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.